All right. So I want to talk tonight about something that has been on my mind a little bit more lately. And I want you to tell me what heaven is like.
Probably pretty good.
Okay. Pretty good.
Well, that's a little bit of an understatement.
I'm a good word.
What's a good word?
Pure.
Pure?
Okay.
So, this is one of those things, all right, so you can give me some words, apparently all P words, to tell me about heaven, I guess, but I guess peace sounds okay and pure is good. Doesn't sound very exciting to me.
We get to sleep with lions. That's what Graham told me.
You get to do what?
Sleep with lions.
Like sleep with lions. Okay. Have you longed to do this?
I always said that if
Graham
I would
always told
would
me, you get to sleep with lions.
Make a tiger your pet. Okay, so maybe you would have unusual pets. Okay. We'll call them pets if they are willing to be your pet.
Well, they can't, because if it bit me, that would not be good, and it can't be
good. So, it's still free, though.
But there's no free in heaven, so even if it bit me, you wouldn't know.
I'd be like, oh.
So,
painless.
Okay, painless. Alright, so there's no pain.
That's painless.
What do you think you're going to do all day? In your pure, perfect, peaceful, painless.
Sing?
Praise God.
You're gonna sing all day?
You're gonna pray.
Have you ever sang all day?
Yes, and it wasn't fun.
Okay.
That's not
all good. County. Sleep.
All county.
What?
Sleep, okay.
You don't need
to sleep. So far, and I like singing a lot, but I don't know, like singing for an entire eternity doesn't sound super fun to me. In heaven, maybe. Okay, you can fly. Fly, okay. I don't know. Do you think you're going to play instruments?
Yeah.
The piano is going to be in heaven.
Maybe, okay. All right.
Trombone.
Instruments, maybe. And I think that there are instruments in heaven.
Most of these are really things you could do on Earth, except for fly. You could get on
except for planes.
You get on a plane.
You could get on a plane, yeah. So... why would anybody want to do this? That's, I guess, my question. That's my big question to you. Why are people long for this?
Wait, what about happiness?
Okay.
We don't want happiness.
Okay. What are they... I guess this is my bigger question. You can have these things and you put these things up there. Do you want these things? Do you want to be pure?
Yeah.
And why do you want to be pure?
Because it makes life better.
Okay. All right.
Because Jesus is pure and you want to be like Jesus.
And that's the nice Christian way that I'm sure we've taught you to say things. But if this is something real, do you feel that? Do you wake up every day and say, I feel like I want to do exactly what Jesus wants to do. I don't feel like that very often. I should feel like it more, honestly and truthfully. But truthfully, I struggle with wanting that to be pure. Because here on earth, there's a lot of attraction to sin. Truthfully. And I'm being truthful. Yes, ultimately, I'd like to be pure because I think it would take away the frustration that I have with myself and with the things that I do and say and think. But truthfully, I struggle with that feeling to want to. That's just being honest with you. I truthfully do struggle with that. And I say, boy, I guess it'd be nice to be perfect, but I don't even understand what that really is. And like I said, I love music. I love to sing. Really do. But sometimes I get tired of singing. I could sing and sing and sing for a long time, but I want to do something different too. That to me wasn't enough, just music. Music's wonderful and I love it and I will have it. But, okay, even if I love it for 100 years, how long is eternity for?
More than 100,
okay? Way more than 100. And when you've lived 100 years and sang a song for 100 years, or even played the piano for 100 years straight, will that be enough? I don't know, maybe I want more, but I don't think that's exciting enough to me.
Well, I think there will be plenty of stuff to do.
Okay, and there will be, no doubt, and that's why I really want to talk about heaven tonight and what we think heaven is. Where we get these little pictures of heaven. I don't know. I watched a lot of cartoons when I was a kid. And always, when the cat died, he had wings and a little white robe. And he floated into the cloud. And he played his little harp. And they sat on clouds. Not that I don't think the experience of walking on a cloud would be cool and flying. But it looked empty and like nothing. Something that I think that people want, and we're going to talk about something that I think that people want in a little bit, really out of life. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But first I want to go and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And this is, who wrote the book of Philippians?
Paul.
Of course he did, because you guys learned about the church at Philippi, right? And the jailer that was going to kill himself. When the doors all came open, Paul and Silas were there, right? Paul saved his life. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20, 21, 22, and 23. This is Paul, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. It's okay, I was slow myself, but you can, 20, 21, 22, 23, please.
According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not.
For I am in a strange twist to having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, this part.
All right. So, this is Paul. And he says, and Paul is an amazing guy. Paul is an incredible guy, and when God blinded him and knocked him upside the head, he learned in 3 days what most people spend a lifetime and don't understand. I don't know how he did it. I'm guessing it was just straight the Spirit of God showing him things, but he had understanding that is unique in humankind, okay? Very few people across humankind have ever understood what Paul understands. And he says the famous thing, I have this struggle between my life and death. But he says, ultimately, here's my thing. To live is what?
Christ.
To die is?
Gain.
Now we know Evan doesn't want any surgeries.
Yes.
Because he's afraid somebody will chop his neck off or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. And he won't make it. But he'd rather die than do that. So he says, but have you ever really come up against the prospect of dying? Like, for real, where you really thought you were going to die?
Well, I thought I was going to
die. Okay.
I did think I was going to die.
I actually thought.
But I just had a stiff neck when I woke up.
Okay.
I was upset. I didn't know what that was. I thought I broke my neck.
I
didn't
know. No, I thought I was going to die at Bounce Magic. The first time I ever got the wind knocked out of me, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die here. It's where yeah. I'm going to happen.
This was 2 or 3 years ago that I fell out of a tree and landed right here on my chest. And when I first hit the ground, when I came to, we'll say, and realize what had happened and what I did. I couldn't breathe. Same thing. Ended up being the wind knocked out of me pretty seriously. But for about a full minute, just no air. Nothing. Couldn't breathe in. Couldn't breathe out. And I never felt that to that degree. And because of the height that I fell from, I thought, I wonder if I punctured lungs. I wonder if I had no idea. My mind is going through this thinking, I wonder if I will ever even get out of here. Right now, I can't even breathe. No way I'm going to stand up the way I feel at this moment. And in your mind, it's funny when you get to that point where you actually maybe think you're going to die. I thought about my wife and kids for a moment and said, for just a moment, and basically said, I won't ever see them again. And then I thought about God and where I was and all. You have to take a stock of where you stand with God all of a sudden. When you really, really believe, most of the time we don't really believe, but when you really, really believe you're facing death, eternity, when this physical world, your connection to it, is really going to be gone. When you think that, all of a sudden, it's not the same as when you just say, well, I'm going to die. When I die, I'll do this. When you get to that point, you may feel very different. Right? It's one of those things where you have to really think about it. And Paul, I think, had spent a lot of times. And tell me about this. How many times did Paul come close to dying? Quite a few, right? When they'd stone you, and the whole world around you that had stoned you was convinced you were dead, and they grabbed you by the feet and dragged you out, threw you outside the city because they thought you were dead and left you there, then you didn't wake up for a day. I'm betting somewhere along the line you thought, this is it. One of those last stones that hit you in the head or in the chest or wherever, okay, till he had come across this in his life several times, and he knew the journeys that he took and the stands that he took and the things that he said were likely going to get him to the point where he was killed. And they believe he was executed by Caesar. Don't really know. Don't know exactly how it happened. Don't have a full thing. Either way, whether that's how it really happened or didn't really happen, he came close all the time, and he began to think in an eternal way. Because we don't think that way. So many times we think, well, that's this unfamiliar world. It's kind of far off in the distance. I don't really have to deal with that today. Paul had some days he really had to deal with it. Are you really ready? Is this really the time? Is this my last breath on earth? And what I spent my life at, was that a good choice or not? Will anybody care? Did anybody, in 20 years, will anybody even know that I was around? Did I make an impact? Did I impress on a life somewhere, even one? Did I do something? Okay? Because all those things can run through your mind if you got a little more time to think than just that last moment, whether you're not sure you can take your last breath. Paul longed to go to heaven. And I'm going to say this. I long in that way to be like Paul, because I don't always long to go to heaven. I like you guys. Don't keep coming after all these years, right? I like my life in general, mostly. I like my family. I like my job. I enjoy doing things here on earth. I've tried my hand at lots and lots of things. And you folks are doing the same things in your life. You guys are trying different things. And a lot of life isn't that bad. So what makes you want something else, something different? Especially when you're young, you've got a lot of spunk inside of you, a lot of vigor, and a lot of willingness to try new things, to start on out, to do things. You want to learn about stuff, you want to experience stuff. As you get older, you experience things. And you go through and you find out that each experience has good in it and has some bad things in it, usually. As you go to work, right? Some of you guys are really just starting out in the workplace, in the world. There's some great things about going to work. Some satisfying things about doing hard work. And how many of you would say that you experience a perfect workplace? Only you. There's not a perfect workplace. You're probably asleep when they happen. When those things are happening, whatever they are. People, when you really get to know a job and you've really been there for a length of time, okay, it gets hard to work around other people. People get complaining about stuff. They get angry about stuff. They all of a sudden don't like the way you do something. Right? No matter what, you'll find over time, you'll get a little taste of a distaste, I guess, for portions of life. And as you grow older, you'll find that energy to learn and that energy to overcome and that energy to do all those things, you in some ways actually can get less patient with those things. People do that. That's not necessarily the way God wants you to be, but a lot of people get less patient when they get older. They have less ability to overcome those things. They get frustrated with things easier. Right? And then you start losing the physical things that you had at your hand. I can do anything I want. I can run and jump and sing and play and do anything I want. And things slowly leave. You don't have the ability to do what you once did. Sorry. All right? As those things start to grow in life, and you start to say, well, it was great to go do that when I did it. I'm glad I did it when I was young. But I don't really want to do that again. You lose desire. And that's one thing that people do. They lose desire in life. Right now, you guys are at the peak of your desire in your life. This is one of the best times in your life because you are willing and able and going and you can overcome stuff. And as time goes, you will lose desire to do those things. People just don't have the energy. And much more than that, sometimes they just lose what's inside that drives them to do something. At those points in life, you start to see a different world. You either get bitter about it, or you look towards something. Look towards something else. Okay? Well, what was God's intention for man to begin with? Let's go back to Genesis. So we kind of explore this a little bit. Genesis chapter 2, wherever we left off. Chapter 2, verse number 4 through 10, please.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth.
Okay, so reverse back into God's plan. God's plan for humans. What did God do in this plan?
He made the people.
Before he made the people.
Oh, he made the world for the people.
Okay, yeah, he made the world. And what was in that world? Plants. Trees. What was in your verse, Abby? Were you the last one?
River.
A river. Okay. And who had to plant all that stuff?
Nobody. They were there already.
God planted it. It says specifically, God planted the garden. And who tilled it all?
Nobody.
There was no man to till it. There was no man. So, and who had to water it? The mist. God just did it all. This was God's idea for humans. Okay? Which didn't change, even though humans sinned. God's idea for humans was this. I'm going to give you this perfect place that you will enjoy. You will enjoy all the fruits of what I did. I created it. I prepared it for you. I planted it. I put it there. You can just go out and fulfill your needs. Do you want a raspberry? You pick a raspberry. A strawberry, a banana. I don't know what all the fruits that were in there. Whatever you want. Whatever you need. I'm going to provide it for you. That's what I have for you. Okay? And then you know the rest of the story. Next, God makes a woman because it says it's not good for a man to be alone. That's why he made woman. It's not good for man to be alone. All right? So, he makes all this and creates all this, and this is his perfect paradise. Now, we also find out in other passages there's animals, which certainly can provide companionship. Look at humankind. They've domesticated everything from an elephant to a monkey to a dog. All kinds of stuff. Crocodiles. If you really want a pet crocodile, I suppose you can have one. I would beware the teeth. the same. Okay? But either way, God's perfect paradise, there was no danger in that. And yes, you talked about laying down with lions or having a pet tiger or things like that. This was God's plan. And God had what? Two trees? Two.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
And?
And the other one that was?
Tree of life.
Good and evil and tree of life. Okay? And they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And then what happened to the tree of life?
After they ate from the other tree?
Yep. Well, if you were to skip down, let's see, chapter 3, verse number 24. After they fell and sinned and everything, here's what they happened to it.
So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
All right, so there you are. In concert, because it's not good for a man to be alone, apparently. Okay? So, God protected that tree of life. He did not kill it. He did not take it away. Because in God's plan, what do you do with the tree of life? Well, he planted it. And yes, you eat from it. To do what? To live. Okay? And since Adam and Eve both sinned, and their consequence was that they would die, can't eat from the tree of life. And so he protected it via angels and some flaming swords, in that no one will ever find it until he has the intention to put it back into play again. All right? How in the world does he do that? I don't know. How does he keep people from seeing that? Is it physically in that spot? Well, that's sure what it says. Okay. Did it get protected through the flood? No doubt. Is it still there somewhere? Well, yes, but we don't know where or how. I mean, can God transplant it? Sure. Where does it show up again? That's the question. Revelation. In the end of time. Chapter 20. Let's try Revelation chapter 2 first. Before we go to Revelation 20. We should not have, like, sword Bible drills tonight and see how fast you can get at them? Me neither. I'm a little slow tonight here. Slow on the draw. All right. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 7. Hey, there it is again. Somewhere in the midst of the paradise of God that God apparently has saved and protected throughout time, in the end of the time shows back up. And who gets to eat from it?
He that overcomes.
Yeah, he that overcomes. Overcomes what? Even, yes, if that's where he lives, but what's he going to overcome if he doesn't get to the tribulation?
Sin.
His life, living in this world, while believing in God. Right? He's going to overcome, yes, sin ultimately, but he's not going to be perfect when he leaves this world. But he's going to overcome the battle. He's going to overcome all the worldly things that draw him. Okay? Him, her, anybody. So when you get to heaven, it appears like one of the things on the docket is to eat from the tree of life, which will suddenly give you eternal life. Now, does it happen through God chooses to do it that way, right? He says, I'm going to protect this because this was my plan from the very beginning. Pause a few thousand years. God's plan, all of a sudden, he's got to put Jesus Christ into it, save us, to bring us back to that point, to give us an opportunity to eat from that lonely old tree of life that's been sitting there waiting for such a long time. Right? And it's a way that he chooses to renew us and give us life. How long does it last? I don't know if you have to eat it every so often. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I just know that it's a tree of life, so it gives you life. And you have to eat it, because that's what you do with fruit. Heaven is not so far different from earth in that we will see familiar things. Trees. Now, we don't have any trees around where if I eat it, I will live forever. Okay? None of those right now. Okay? But I do have trees in heaven. And so, not that this it's this ethereal, cloudy spot where I stand and sing to God all day, but that they're likely, if there's one tree, there's more than one tree. We know that God has protected those things, and we also will see that there's animals. And so there's places where animals live. Not running in the clouds, okay? They live in real habitats, real places where they live. Forests and or grasslands and or whatever. Mountains, who knows? God has whole world, an entire world, and I call it that in that I don't mean it's the earth world, but it's a realm where we can go. And maybe that realm connects to more realms. We also know that God's going to recreate the earth and heaven specifically for us. We're going to be able to watch that happen, okay, if we overcome in this world. To see something created from nothing while we stand by is going to be incredible. Are we going to get a chance to be a part of it? Maybe. I don't know. God has given us creative talents and abilities here, and we do little things with them on earth. We can make things out of metal or wood. We can make music. We can do things like that. But there are deeper things that God has created us for. You want to be a part of creation, well, maybe he will let you. I don't know. Not through your own power, but through God giving you creative ability to do things. What God did, or is doing for us, and will do for us, is create a place that is a little more familiar than you think. Though you won't have to when you walk somewhere, and if I say, I am going to go walk to Alabama. That's a long walk. But if I walked to the state of Alabama, that's a lot longer of a walk. I'd probably be hurt. I'd need some new shoes by the time I get there, right? I need new shoes anyways. But either way, I'm bound by that physical distance and length and things. And then that world, he will take away those things. Will have the ability to move in maybe even interdimensional. Okay? So we might be part of this thing, but there'll be a lot of familiar things, and that's actually something I'm kind of looking forward to. Because I like trees a lot. Love them. I love outside. And God created this earth as a way to ring familiar. Okay? That's important. We'll get there in a minute. Let's finish up Revelation chapter 22. Finish up what else he took from his original plan. And there's many more things, but you'll see some of the things. Revelation 22, verse number 1 and 2.
And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God
and of the Lamb.
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree before the healing of the nations.
Okay. So a couple of things he brought along all the way to the end, or he brings to the very end times, is he had it in the beginning. What was your verse, Abby? The river, right? The river he brings back, but this river has the river of the water of life. So you get to drink from the water of life. This is the fountain of youth, right, that Ponce de Leon tried to find in Florida. Well, there's no fountain of youth in Florida, okay? It's not there. It is in proceeding out of the throne of God. It comes right from God's own very power, right? From His being, the river of life comes from. That's where you get satisfaction. Is it physical wet water? Probably, because we will have physical bodies. And so you have had much of this experience. You experience all of life through your physical body. Will you have a different experience there? Yes, but I think there'll be a lot of familiarities there. You may not crave the physical things as much when you get there, because you'll see there are deeper things and more things. All right? So along with it, also the tree of life happens to show up, planted alongside of there. It's a particular tree, unique, 12 fruits, one every single month, comes up. And they don't just give you life, they actually heal. Because I think there's a lot of broken things that we leave this world with. And by broken things, yes, there are broken bodies, people with sicknesses, diseases, problems, things that they could not overcome in this life that ultimately took them from this life. And more than that, there are many broken hearts, spirits, things where this life has crushed them down and pushed them down over time. Some people, when they're young, experience those things, and I am so very sorry for those young people who have terrible, terrible things that they, tragic things they go through when they're young. There are people that do that and have that in this life. And there are many people who don't have that in this life, and thank God for that, but there are many things that will happen to you in this life that where you'll get kicked along the way. And you'll find you may not have the perfect job and the perfect family and the perfect place and the perfect friends. You'll find you'll have a lot of things that you wish just didn't happen the way they did. So God says that he who overcomes will get to eat from the tree of life. So overcoming means you have to keep your eye on the prize, right? That's an important part. That's a really important part. So the question is, one thought here, what do you think people really want in this life? In my estimation, there's a couple of different things people really want. And you might say, what do people look for, search for? How do they know they've reached a good life? Okay, success, that's very general. And how are they successful?
Money, house, car, family.
Okay, money, house, car, family. Would you agree? That's success? People think that's success, right?
Yeah.
Why do they seek after those things? Okay, so what you're saying, and tell me if you agree, people are looking for a purpose in their life. If they're looking for, and even with money, I would say a job or a position. Lots of people look there. But ultimately, a lot of people do this to have a purpose. Now, this can be all twisted up, and they can misuse it and abuse it and do all kinds of things. Do you find your purpose in those things? Can you be satisfied with those things? No. The answer is yes, but not alone. You can be satisfied with any of those things if God is giving you a purpose. If you look for your purpose from God, you can be satisfied with your family, your car, whether it's old and rusty or new and fancy, you can be satisfied with it. You can be satisfied with your home, your money, your job, your position. Okay? You could be satisfied with those things. People are looking for purpose. And God is the only one that really gives you a purpose. Now, you can use all those things in your purpose. And God will often give you all of those blessings in this life. But if you only seek to find your purpose through those things, then you're longing for the wrong thing. And you'll come up empty. Even family. This is one of those holy cows in the Christian world, conservative world, because family is a fabulous gift from God. Not all families are as gifty as other families, okay? And that's just how it is, right? But family, for what they are, is a gift from God. Some people worship at the altar of family. That's it. Family is their ultimate. Family is more important than God. And when you've gotten to the point that family is more important than God, you missed the point. God will give you all your blessings and all your fulfillment through family if you come to Him first, through your purpose. And He can give you your blessings and your fulfillment through where you work and the home you have and the salary that you get, all those things. He can bless you through things. But if you don't put Him in that first longing part, you will never be satisfied and always be searching. The job will never be enough, the position will never be enough, the money will never be enough, the car will never be good enough, the family will never be good enough. If you find your satisfaction in God first, then all of those things have a different perspective. That's one thing people seek for in this life. And I think there's one other major thing, at least in my estimation, there's probably more out there. One thing people seek for, and they go looking for it in a few different ways. Some people do it with dogs. Some people with friends. Some people with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some people with a mate, husband or wife. Okay. Some people seek it through sex, inside or outside of marriage. They seek through those things. What are they looking for? Okay. What fulfills? What are they really seeking for? There's something, yes, fulfillment, and you could say, well, I'm looking for fulfillment in those, which ultimately is, why am I here? Okay, my purpose. But if I'm looking for fulfillment through these, through your dog or cat or goldfish or whatever, iguana, okay, or a boyfriend or girlfriend, or through a wife or a husband, okay, some people seek it just through straight up sex. They don't want anything to do with it, but they're looking for something. What are they looking for?
Acceptance.
Right. They want to be accepted as who they are. They want to feel like they belong.
That's belonging.
There's something deep inside the human race that when God looked down at the man that he created, he said it's not good for man to be alone. Because he needed more of a relationship. Now, is God enough? Yes. God's always enough. Pretty hard in this world to not have a physical world and life and things like that. Okay? And God is enough. And if you find your acceptance and belonging through God, then relationships that are appropriate, that he tells you are appropriate, are good. If you seek your acceptance or belonging through these things, okay, through backwards kind of things, then you'll never be satisfied. Getting married is an amazing thing. It is life-changing, okay? It's an amazing and incredible thing to get married. It also is something that ends up 50% of the time in divorce. People are looking for something, and they clearly didn't find it just in getting married. Right? And this world is full of a lot of things. People look for companionship, acceptance. It's great to have a dog. No problems with dogs. I like dogs. But if that's all you're looking for is acceptance from a pet, because my pet will love me no matter what. It's true, but it won't bring you real fulfillment. The one you're built for. Okay? What you're built for is something deeper. These, okay, all of these things, as long as you're within the realm of what God says, okay, God says you're built. You need acceptance. You need belonging to something. You're built. I made a plan on earth, okay, where you get this boyfriend and girlfriend, and then you have the wife for the husband, and sex comes within marriage, and that's my plan. Made that for you on earth. You follow that plan with me in the beginning of it. It will add joy to your life. You can throw a dog in there any old place you want. 1, 10, 100, or none of them. And it's okay. You don't have to get married. But either way, you do need belonging and acceptance. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a hermit out there who lives somewhere. In the core of a human, they need it. These two things, purpose and acceptance, I think are what we're really going to get. And yes, there'll be familiar things. And yes, we'll have amazing things, and traveling and all those sort of things. But I think the acceptance, which is what people really deeply long for, and it leads humans to seek it out in any way they can. Whether it's on whatever, Snapchat or whatever, to say, look what I got. I want to show you the things I have, okay? I'm going to show you what my life is really like so I can be accepted. Or so I can have a purpose. I think somebody loves me or cares about me. People long for it. And they seek it in hundreds of different ways. If we seek it from God to begin with and know that it starts there and then work back, we're always going to be good. Now, here's the thing. The sun and the moon. What if I was to tell you the moon? That's the moon. It's the man in the moon, Abby. Haven't you ever seen him? He looks just like that. The man in the moon is there, and then there's the sun. Which one's real?
which one to pick.
They're both real, man. Wow. I think she's a scientist. Okay. Right. So, they're both real. Which one would be a much more exhilarating experience?
Wait, exhilarating?
Much more power involved in the sun, right? That's where it's really at. If you could actually experience that. But you can't really now. Maybe someday you can. Maybe someday you could visit a star. Okay? You might not be bound by space and time. First of all, it's a long ways away. And second of all, it's really warm there. Okay? But you can experience the moon now. And you experience it from down here on Earth and see the reflection of the sun, right? Both are very real. And we don't say, well, I only can stand on the moon, so the sun's not real, right? We have evidence that the sun is real. It's pretty warm because of the sun. We see it like in the distance. Some days, on cloudy days, you don't see it. You may say, well, there's no real sun out there. I don't see it today. Right? But this is the way people think about heaven. Well, I can't feel it. I can't touch it. I can't stand in there myself, so it's not real. And yet, there's evidence that it's there. But the moon, now that's real. To me, that's like our relationship here on Earth. Everything's physical and real, and we can move and touch, and it's sort of how we understand it. That thing way up there, that bright burning ball in the sky, okay, I can even take a rocket ship to the moon and stand on it if I had enough money to pay somebody to get me there, all right? But I can't fly to the sun yet because I don't have the capacity to do it. It's very same thing with heaven, right? I can't experience heaven today until God translates me into a way that I can. God's got to allow me to experience it. Not in my own power, not with enough money, not with enough anything. It's all God that does it. I can experience the moon. And the moon is really kind of just a reflection of the sun, right? The light that comes off the moon is just a reflection of the sun. And yet we experience the light. That's exactly what this life is. It's a reflection of what is to come, what God wants for us. That's why we have marriage and we have good things and relationships and things of enjoyment. Woods and trees and rivers and rocks and all sorts of things here on Earth, because it's a reflection of what is real and eternal. Can't get there right now. Not on my own. It's like I can't fly to the sun. I'll never make it. Okay? But it doesn't mean it's less real. Right? So to live your life in such a way, and this is the key and the important part of it. There was a woman back in 1952, and her name was Florence Chadwick. Nobody ever heard of her, probably. She was an incredible swimmer. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel back and forth, 23 miles each way. That's a lot of swimming. She beat every record, okay, continued to beat records and records and records, held them for a long time, did long distance swims like that. So off of the California coast, there is an island called Catalina Island, okay, and there's a channel between the island and the mainland of California. It's 21 miles distance in a straight line, straight as you can swim, across what they call the Catalina Channel. So Florence decided that she was going to swim that channel. And in 1952, she got in the water, which was apparently very cold that morning, and very foggy. She got out, and of course there were people boating near her this whole journey, okay, to watch her, make sure she was okay. She was swimming. And I think she was out in the water swimming for 14 hours or so, which was typical to get that far when you're swimming that many miles, okay. She was going to get there. She was determined, and she went, and she went, and she went. And she got a ways, and she really couldn't see where she was going because it was very, very foggy. She just kept swimming, and the boats near her kept saying, come this way, come this way, come this way. And she swam and swam and swam and swam. She finally said, I give up. I can't do this anymore. And her mother was in one of those boats saying, no, you keep swimming, you keep swimming, you keep swimming. So she swam for a little bit longer. And eventually she got to a point where she just gave up. And said, pick me out of the water. I'm not swimming anymore. He pulled her up into the boat. She had swam 20 and a half miles of the 21 miles. Could not see the shore. And so they took her back to the mainland. They told her, just keep going, just keep going. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. She told a reporter later when they asked her about it, she said, if I could have seen the shore, I would have swam that no problem. But I just couldn't see where I was going. I had no point, no aim, no purpose. I couldn't see the shore. If I could have done it, I swam longer than that. She swam the English Channel twice, 23 miles each way. But she just couldn't do it without being able to see the shore. And I think that's part of our struggle here on earth with heaven. It seems so distant, and it's so very clouded over in this life. It seems so far from being real. And it seems like much of our life we spend in that fog, and we swim, because people keep telling us, it's almost there, you're just so close, it's almost there. We try, and we try, and we try, and sometimes we just say, I give up. Because we can't see the shore. The point of this is what I want to say to finish up. If we can keep our eyes on heaven, as real and familiar and amazing as it will be, as incredible as it will be, as fulfilling as it will be, giving us acceptance and belonging directly to Christ and in the larger family, with all the sin and the garbage wiped away, giving us purpose of why we exist. And God will give us new, creative ways to be and do things and build and create in ways we've never seen before, without the limitations that we see on this earth. If we can keep our mind and focus on God, on the shore that's coming, then we can swim the rest of the way. You can do it if you can keep your eyes focused on there. You can see the shoreline. You can make it. It's a long distance swim. It has got to take a lot of perseverance in your life to do this. It's not an easy snap your fingers and then go and live the rest of your life. It's perseverance to continue to seek after God, to keep doing it, keeping your eye on the shore in the distance. Someday it will be worth every moment you spent. You will look back, just like, by the way, later that year, she got back in and swam the whole thing. Okay? Without problem. If you could keep your eye on what's real and true, that long eternity ahead compared to the short life, that's what makes you win the goal. That's what gets you to the place you want to be. That's where you will experience eternity in a way that will be just the way you were made. Okay? With that perfect place for you. With all the people there. With Christ Himself there. Giving you belonging. Acceptance. Intimacy. Closeness. Purpose. Fulfillment. That's what God gives that people seek for in this life. People will, you'll see it lots in life. They'll seek and seek and seek and try to get it in a lot of other ways. But if God has put it at that center, in the beginning of the search, you will find it. Keep your eye on the shore. That's what brings excitement to heaven. Okay? It's to a place in life where it's the most important thing. You're thinking more and more and more about it. That's what I want to do. And that's how I want to be like Paul. Long for those things. For me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. That's what I want to be. I want to know that better. All right. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.